Yeah.
Let me say my prayers, eat my vitamins, and always believe in Hulkamania, brother.
There it is. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the final boss is here with us. No, the final boss
of
Six Flags is here with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great kickoff to our spring break theming here on the Nights of Horror for the Mindless Horror Podcast. Continuing the legacy after 200, episode 201, and here we go. The man, the myth, the legend. I'm sitting here with Laz. How you doing, brother?
Good, and you?
Man, I'm doing phenomenal, but let's talk about our history real quick, man, because this podcast has been a few years in the making, finally,
and it has.
We finally lined up, the stars aligned, and now we are here, man. I'm excited to have you on. You were one of the first people when we started going to Six Flags that, you know, gave us the awesome interactions, some of the best footage from Six Flags, and every time we've gone since then, you've gone out of your way to make us feel very welcome. So I want to thank you for that, and I appreciate you for that. And
thank you.
Yeah, man. I mean, how long have you been scare acting for?
For the better part of 7 years.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a different experience every year, you know, for sure. I mean, the one cool thing I love about scare acting is if something's bottled in your head, unleash it.
Right.
You know, and to use a wrestling term, you know, when you're given a new gimmick, you know, run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
anytime. And
yeah, I just never wanted to be stagnant with one character for sure.
I mean, I've seen you. I've had the honor of seeing you play a few different characters since I started going in 2020. I believe it was one or two. I don't remember when we started. I think it was 22. And that was the first time I had ever gone to the event. Rob Hallinghour, a good friend of mine. He's been going to the event for years, and he loves it. He continues to come back and support, and he's the one that kind of brought me into this universe, man. And you guys have so much freedom to play out there, man. You guys got such big spaces. Like, what's the most fun you have out there on the streets to like kind of bring in that character and immerse that audience?
Well, when you first saw me, I was Hugo the Zombie,
right?
And I remember our interaction because you were enamored with the sounds I was making.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember that.
And I just think that was the coolest part when you're like, oh, dude, he's a clicker. And you were like, and you started jumping up with the camera.
Oh, yeah. I am a nerd for any little thing that I can tie into pop culture of things that I love because – God damn, when I hear stuff like that, it drives me crazy. I mean, it drives me crazy in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, I go nuts. I get too excited. Like, I've heard that's my problem. I get a little too fanboy at times, but you know, that's why we're in the game.
But you know, and going back to that, that's what the beautiful part about the freedom that we get at Six Flags is, like, you know, a lot of us will take our favorite horror films or nerds of horror and bring that on to, you know, the zones.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, I brought a lot of elements with Hugo. Of course, you know, Last of Us and Walking Dead and, you know, just regular zombie, you know, interactions. I wanted to make you feel like you were seeing a real zombie.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
And what was cool is you mentioned all these properties that you drew your inspiration from and everything. And you could kind of see that throughout the time that we would stand there is how differently you would approach a different person using a different zombie gimmick. And I think that for me as a fan, I think that's really cool because not every time I go through, I know I'm going to get scared differently. And I seen that, I remember standing off to the side and just kind of watching that and kind of seeing, and you know, that's one of my favorite things to do is when we just get the opportunity to just kind of stand for a second and watch you guys make freaking beautiful art in front of our faces. But it's just it's something that I love doing, and then watching you do that, you know, and you mentioned clickers, you mentioned The Walking Dead, all stuff that I grew up watching, I grew up playing and stuff, and you know, to see all those kind of come to fruition as a fan of all those properties and of Haunt, like that's just so cool. I've always said there's always room to mix worlds, man. I mean, it's great. I mean, I would love to see, and I think you're very much on board with this one. I'd love to see more wrestling references in Haunt.
You know, it's funny you say that. It's because I've said it in private, but I've also said it in public a couple of times, is wrestling fans make great scare actors.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know. 100%. Because we're going out there, you know, we're selling it. We're selling it, you know.
Yeah.
We can't go out there and no sell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you got a gimmick, you know, definitely a lot of people that I know that are wrestling fans that go into Haunt are some of the best actors ever.
Oh, 100%.
Because they treat it like, you know, they're going into the ring.
Yeah. Know? Put on that character and bam, you're in a different world at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I love the freedom that you guys have over at Six Flags, you know, and I love the fact that, you know, how big the zones are for you guys. When we first saw you in that zone, you know, I really love the aesthetic of the kind of area they kind of put you in. You know, you have a graveyard right there. You have you guys roaming around, fog machines going, lighting looks amazing. Because I remember the night we went, it was like you and like two other people, or you and another person. What's it like to kind of have more of that open range of like, this is almost like your guy, like just you two. You guys are just kind of the control in the zone. Like, how is that for you to kind of do that?
That's a great question. That zone you're talking about, Terror Rising, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But that zone, honestly, I think it was just, I don't want to, how can I say this nicely? They put some of us in there just hoping for the best.
Right. No, and you know, I'm going to bounce off that real quick because I remember that year there were still a lot of people within the community that were still a little nervous to come back because of, you know, COVID stipulations. So there was a lot of, it was a lot of like, you know, they were kind of desperate to get people in to hire on for spots. Right.
That is true. That is true. And, you know, truth be told, we were originally a zone of six.
Right.
And we ended this year on four.
Okay. So two and two kind of swapping out then.
Two, I don't think they made it.
Okay.
So, but the four that we did, I always say we were small but mighty.
Hey.
You know?
Hell yeah.
And it was because it was we, you know, my dear friend Momo, he was the vampire. And then, we had two werewolves. Mm-hmm. And myself as a zombie. And I think that year, if I can get back, you know, rewind, it was a pretty crazy year just because the acting in that zone was kind of surreal and real. And I remember that's the most I've ever been assaulted is that year just because I remember I got punched really hard one of the nights. And I heard the woman as she got pulled over to the side saying, "You guys hire real zombies." And to be honest, dude, I walked away with like the biggest smirk and prideful just because that was a testament to my acting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, because doing that sound when I walk by somebody, the click, you know, it made them a nerd. I mean, I learned that from like, you know, scare actors from the past, like Innocence and The Bride at Not Scary Farm, is you can create that environment. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest step ever. Because then all of a sudden you make everything uneasy. They're not sure if they want to walk through. And with Hugo, I was able to do that click. And of course you heard it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when people walk by me and then if I'm not scaring them, they hear that click and they're like, oh, you know.
Oh, it's especially, like you said, when you are walking by you and there was times where the fog really ate up some of those areas. And you couldn't really even see you at points. And so you're right. When people would walk by you and you would make that noise, they're not expecting that. So the first thing they're going to do is react like, where the hell did that come from? And then you're right there. And I'm just like, damn, dude, like he got me. I can't even like play that one off. Like it's genuine. He got me. It's just as simple as that. Got it. I mean, I imagine just having to rewatch a lot of those, especially the clicker. I mean, their sound is very unique and very distinct.
Right.
I imagine you had to watch stuff over and over again just to kind of nail those sounds.
It's funny you say that because the first thing, right when they changed my character to a zombie, originally I was supposed to be a scary scarecrow.
Okay.
And I, to be honest, it's like how do I get inspiration from this, you know?
Yeah.
And there was not much, you know, I watched Children of the Corn again and stuff like that just to get, you know, the hay feel. But, you know, I go, as they said, you're going to be a zombie now. So immediately I went to like Dead Rising.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
I start watching that. Of course, they start going back to Last of Us, Walking Dead, and, you know, George A. Romero stuff, just started studying again. Then I was like, all right, I'm going to bring all that and combine it into one character. And gosh, I mean, I don't want to curse, but gosh darn it.
Oh, man.
It worked. That's because of that character, I won Character of the Year for my zone.
Oh, hell yeah, bro. Like, look at, you take all that, right? You combine it up and you make one of these guys right here.
Right there.
There it is. You know?
There, you know. And that was the most beautiful part about that was hearing that people were coming from other parks to come see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like, dude, I got to see this guy. Of course, you know, I see all the, you know, Notch jerseys like staring at me, like, you know, and they heard the click and they're like, dude, did you hear that?
Yeah, dude.
You know?
I'm glad you brought that up. I one of my favorite things to see is when, and I know, you know, schedules get busy during season and stuff, but when other people from other haunts come and support other haunts, I mean, dude, that to me right there, oh my God, that was awesome. That fucking hearts just came out of that. I mean, how'd you do that? That was awesome.
I'm a magician.
Look at that. How'd you do that? That's awesome. Man, he's coming out with all the tricks tonight. I wasn't even expecting that. That was completely off. That was awesome. I'm a little shocked right now because I've just never seen that. That's just someone just pulled out a trick right there. That was awesome.
Sorry, Tony.
No, that was awesome. I don't mind that at all. Like, I'm still trying to. I'm like, wow. No, but I absolutely love the fact that you guys go and support one another. You know, I think it's you know, you hear a lot of people say like this event's better than that one, this event's better than this one. Here's how I'll compare this. This is very comparable to wrestling, right?
Okay.
Wrestling is super hot right now. You know, as far as eyes are indies everywhere, mainstream, it's hot. Haunt is the same. I compare the haunt scene and the wrestling scene very similar. I will have to say, because of the popularity and everything and all the money they make, HHN would be your WWE. Okay?
Right.
Events like Six Flags and Knott's would be your AEW.
That would be a good analogy, yeah.
Because the more freedom you guys have at these events, right?
Absolutely.
So I feel like, you know, there's so much going on in the wrestling world. There's so much going on in the haunt world. That why complain about it and just enjoy it for what it is? I don't think we've ever gotten this spoiled in the haunt community. I mean, I just looked at tickets for Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando this year. They start the last weekend of August. We've officially bled into August now.
Yeah.
Taking over all of September, taking over all of October, one weekend in August, one weekend in November. It is insane how long haunt season goes on for 2 months now.
And that's beautiful. And like you just brought up wrestling. You know, it's better when there's more options out there, because if I can't make it to this one, I'm going to make it to the other one, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the one beautiful, like you said, we're in a renaissance era of haunt, and it's just really cool, like all these events that are going on, like Scream Break. We're in March and April, and we got spring, you know, haunt going on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's this. I mean, of course, we got midsummer coming up, and then, you know, and all the spooky swap meets that come along in between, and then all the meetups. I mean, it's now being recognized as a lifestyle, and that's what I think I love about haunt. You know, is because it used to be, you used to get your butt kicked if you like, you know, horror movies. You did. I mean, a lot of us. Let's just say we paved the way from getting kicked every day because. Yeah.
I mean, look at the future that we are looking at right now. I mean, you have an event like Scream Break that came along last year. That's where it started. It was definitely game changer. We're going to get into Scream Break a lot right now. Like, look at what Universal's doing in Vegas. You know, with the year-round horror nights. I mean, you know, the Vegas scene alone, all these horror-themed escape rooms, all you know, all these experiences. The haunt scene is this much closer every single day of becoming a year-round attraction, depending on who wants to do that. You know,
True.
I feel like there's so much potential, and I'm glad Six Flags listened and brought back Scream Break this year. I felt last year it was incredible. It was fun. Yeah, it was different, unique, and just something that takes the vibe of Spring Break and Haunt, and kind of the way you guys do it is kind of just like a giant parody of what those average kind of teeny, like what you see on like MTV and stuff, Spring Breakers look like. And I love that. Yeah. I mean, in the most positive way possible, like you guys are taking something and kind of taking it to a new dramatization. And I love it. I love it. Absolutely. It's amazing of what you guys are doing down there.
Yeah. And that's the one cool thing about last year. Cause there was a lot of uncertainty, you know, not going to lie. Cause I mean, this is new. We're going to be, you know, Haunt characters, but goofy at the same time. Yeah. You know, it was kind of like, we want you to be a horror flick, but with trauma, you know, like a Lloyd Kaufman kind of deal. And and the one thing I do have to say about last year is everybody understood the assignment, like everybody did.
Yeah.
And I remember Mike Ostrom, the park president, gathered us around, and he was just like, "I'm blown away by the feedback. I'm blown away." And, you know, let's keep this going. Let's keep this up. You guys are doing great. And that just, like, motivated us as scare actors. Like, let's go out there and hit a home run each night. And, of course, you know, we were packing those nights every, you know, throughout the season, you know, the small season that we had.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree. And now let's talk about that first year, man. I mean, because this gets announced, right? And I think the entire community is just shocked as to, like, they're going to do a Haunt and – Spring Break for a month at Six Flags. All right, let's see how this is. We go out there last year, have a great time. We kind of get the whole vibe of everything. The thing I love about Six Flags is they're very heavy also already, even when they do Fright Fest with the live DJs in the park. To add that element to Spring Break, I mean, it fits perfectly as it is. But to have these characters, and you know, everyone is kind of has their different vibes as you go on. I specifically remember going into the vampire area, dude, and just loving the vibe of that. I'm like, it's gothic, but it's like party vibe, and it's just perfect. Like you also have a person in your zone that for the second consecutive year I've seen do the most simplest act possible, but achieve the most greatest scare out there. And that's there's a woman on your zone who just dances around and then will just jump out at people and scare people.
That is the talented Tina. And I will say this too, is it was my first time. I mean, I actually got to scare with her as Hugo,
right?
For the final night at Carnival. But then we actually got to do a season, you know, as with Scream Break together. And let me tell you, she is one of the most, like, how can I say this? We double team a lot.
Okay.
And it's with ease. And it's not like, you know, hey, set it up. Or no, it just comes naturally.
Right.
Like, there are times I'll set it up, she knocks it out. Or
you guys,
she'll
you
set
guys
it up. Kind
of read each other vibes.
Right. And I think that's the most natural tag team partner. I mean, to go back into wrestling, you know, it's kind of like FTR, you know, she's my Dax, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you know,
I love everything you guys do in that zone. I mean, I mean, from what I've heard last year, they were telling me you were the owner of the club and everything was like under, like, this is, you invited us to the VIP area last year. I do remember that because I recently just went back to rewatch my 2023 vlog. I've seen nothing on 2024 yet because I want to go and be surprised.
Absolutely.
But I went back to watch the 23 vlog, and oh, man, we had so much fun. There were just so many interactions. Like, I am so looking forward this Friday to see what we can come up with this weekend. It's going to be a good time. Dude, tell me about – now, this was obviously something different than you're used to seeing at Fright Fest, right? And so tell me what it was like for you guys to kind of pull back a little bit on the scaring and add more of that party element and going into that first year of Scream Break. Like, it seems like you guys really were doing something right. If the president of the park is coming down to tell you guys, keep doing what you're doing, there's such great feedback. Like, and they even brought the event back. So like, what was it like for you as a scare actor to kind of pull back the scare a little bit and bring out the kind of the Spring Break vibe of it?
That's a great question. it was hard. I'm not gonna lie, because naturally you get that prosthetic on and you get the outfit on and you're just like, it's go time. Yeah. Like, you know, time to get people jumping. And I remember Mark Wing, the director of entertainment, he was like, you know, we're not doing that, but I want you scared too. You know, but it was like, okay, you know, I was at a crossroads about it. I was like, how do I go about reining back the scares, not being too creative on the scares, mind you, because now I'm engaging the public more and more. I'm talking. And then, of course, like the first scare I did right off the bat was, you know, right at somebody. And I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't want that.
Right.
So it turned into like, you know, and I'm like, oh, my apologies. You know, I'm so sorry. You know, I see blood, you know, and I get crazy, you know,
yeah.
that's what he was looking for, you know, because it's got to be a parody of the scare afterwards, you know, it's got to be, you know, lighthearted, you know, like a lot of, like Tina, for example, she'll scare somebody and then she'll go, oh, come back to the club anytime, you know, and it was stuff like that. But, you know, and that I tipped my hat to Six Flags for last year, because the casting that they did was, I will say this on record, it was the best scare season I've ever had.
Really?
It was. And what I mean by that is, the casting that we had, it was just a murderer's row in each zone from Six Flags. I'm not talking about like in the haunt community, or I'm talking about they took people who normally don't work with each other and put them into these zones. Wow. And they made the magic happen, you know. And like M, you know, Margo, they were waiting to be a breakout star. And what I mean by that is there was the Six Flags saw something and they just gave them the baton and ran with it. They ran with it. And then they gave the great supporting cast of like Sliders and anybody that can bounce off of M. And that zone, Demon's Row, was just an amazing zone last year.
Yeah.
And then of course they started going down, okay, who's never been a clown? Let's give them a shot to be a clown. And then the grave happened. And that's how my dear friend Tango, his debut as a clown was last year at Scream Break, and then he stayed in the DC for Fright Fest.
Nice.
Because he did such a good job in Scream Break. And, you know, and then, of course, Bloodborne. And Bloodborne, I will say, the people in that zone I had last year were people I've wanted to work with forever.
Oh,
like
nice.
Tina. You know, I've always wanted to work with Tina for a season. I got to work with Mr. Willoughby, who we ended up sharing Exile Hill in 2023. And the queen from Nightmares.
Okay.
She was in there. And then a couple of other people. But, you know, those three I've always wanted to work with. And we got to share a zone together. So it was like,
dude,
that little bit in me was just like, oh, we're going to make it happen. And we did.
Yeah.
So
you opened that door to the forbidden door and you let it happen.
You know, I always say last year was like my Will Ospreay moment.
There you go, man. You opened it. You didn't even, not only did you open it, you busted that door down. You're like,
thank you.
Let's get it started. No, I love so much of everything about Scream Break. The concept was great. Last year we had a Condemned House Party, which has returned for 2024, and they did Vault 666. And that was, I mean, I love those two mazes. Those mazes are really beautiful and stuff. This year, obviously, going into 2024, they chose Condemned House Party and Saw, which is something that was at Fright Fest last year. Now, going into, you know, coming out of 2023 as far as Scream Break goes, what were your – now, first off, I got to ask you, too, before we get to that question, what was your, like, initial thoughts when you first heard about this event, like, happening? Like, were you excited about it, or were you curious about it? Like, how did it go for you?
Well, you know, it was murmur at first because they posted the job. Mm-hmm. Like, Scream Break, haunting in the spring, you know? Like, what's going on here? You know, I mean, are we, you know, is this a joke? Is this, you know, because it was near almost April 1st, you know?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, they just said Stilt and Sliders were already picked up. They already had people selected. So it was like, okay. So the only option that they gave was Mazes, which was for the Condemned Party House in Vault. I applied because I wanted to be part of something inaugural, meaning the first, you know, event ever. Yeah. I wanted to be a part of it. So I signed up to be Maze, you know, and all of us were, you know, there was a couple people in there. We're like, you know what, this is a great time. You know, we get to see each other again in the spring, not in the fall, you know, let's do this Maze deal. Yeah. And all of a sudden they, you know, again, somebody stuck their head into the door. We got walk around auditions. And literally, we all looked at each other, got up and walked. And we all walked out, and there they were. There was a panel of people waiting for us. And it was, they said straight up, we don't want Fright Fest characters for this. We don't want you running around screaming. They gave us like a idea of what they want. Right. So they said, okay, they're going to, you're going to have to audition as the Thirstinator. And Thirstinator's get, you know, he's always craving beer, but, you know, he died from drinking and all this stuff. We want to see what you're going to do. Like, you know, He-Man with the power, you know, Castle of Grayskull, man. I just was like, that's it. I'm going to do a Beetlejuice impression. And I'm not talking about the who, me guy. I'm talking about, you know, hey, how are you doing? You know?
Yeah. Michael Keaton, man.
Yeah, Michael Keaton. I brought him into the audition. And then a week later, I got, you know, walk around for the Bloodborne. And to go back to that, I got super excited about the event right after that. Awesome. Just because it was cool to see a lot of people who were just happy to be there.
Right.
And they weren't expecting to be walk around. They were just like, we want to be part of this first event. And I think Six Flags was like, you know what? We're going to get some walk arounds. And if you count how many walk arounds were in each zone, there was only four of us in each zone.
Yeah, I did notice that because – you know, we were trying to do a lot of interactions with people, and that was the beauty of this event, is the fact that you guys also had more freedom to kind of immerse people for those interactions, right, and really kind of immerse them into your zone and clubs and stuff. And that was something that I really enjoyed doing, because everyone had a story, and a story led you somewhere else.
Yes.
I had people over by Condemned telling me to go into the Bloodborne, to go over to the clowns, and yeah, you know, it was just messages passing back and forth. I don't know how many times you guys received other messages from other zones and just kind of were passing those along all night. I mean that's something I've heard happen at Knott's, but I imagine you guys are doing this over there too. I mean, you cannot.
And then that was the one cool thing that we'd never done before at Six Flags, which was the guests would pass notes for us.
Right.
And I always, it was hard for me not to break character when somebody would go up going, Margarita wanted me to tell you that you stink, you know, and I'm, you know, I'd hide my head a little bit and be like, well, you tell that green haired heartbeat, she's not welcome here, you know, you know, oh. And there was one night that Em and I just, it was like nonstop, and these people were just having so much fun doing it. And I'm like, you guys are literally here on your visit, just spreading messages. That's it.
And that's literally in that area. They're just running back and forth. Like,
so, I mean, all I said at the end of the night was, if you like this back and forth, put it on the feedback, put it on your survey, tell them you had a good time, you know?
Tell them we spent the entire night talking to one vampire and Margo.
Yes. So, I mean, that was a really, you know, that was the new concept for a lot of us at Six Flags, because, you know, a lot of people want to goof off with us at Fright Fest, but Fright Fest is so serious. You know, if you're not, I only say DC gets away with, you know, like, I love Peaches, but, you know, you can, you know, goof off with each other in there, but to have Jones going at it, that was the best part.
That's,
you know,
always fun, man. I would love to see you know, more of that with you guys. Maybe Fright Fest, man. We'll play Messenger that night.
I mean, usually characters I've ever done for Fright Fest are always serious. And like Mr. Tibbetts last year, I was choking. You know, every time somebody walked by, I'm, you know, I don't think.
No, I got you. I'll go down to the opening scare zone right there. Be like, so he's up there and he just said, that's all I got out of him. That's if you guys know what that means, translate for me. But that's what he told me. So I can make it work. Trust me, I'll make it work.
I know, man. I know who can do it. It's you, Tone, for sure.
I can make it work, man. I will sell a story and have people invested into it.
Just start telling, like, you know, old wrestling stories against each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh man. No. And I'm so glad that from a scaring point of view with all you guys, that you guys were having a ball. I mean, this is obviously, like we've said, this is not your ordinary haunt. This is something that's taking the tropes of Spring Break that we see in movies or what we've seen in the past on MTV, all that stuff, and it's bringing it and adding a scare factor to it. And we're also playing a big parody of it, but we're also having a great time with it. I think it's brilliant what you guys accomplished that first year. And like you said, to be part of that first one, you know, that's an honor right there of its own. Because now this thing has picked up so much traction, especially this year, with people having interest of coming out and seeing it for what it is. And I feel like as the years will go on, this thing will start to get bigger. We'll eventually add a third maze. Then we'll add a fourth maze. Then we'll add more dates. Like, this thing will go on. I think this thing's going to get bigger. We're just getting started. Like,
I agree.
Like, now here's another good question. Now, coming out of year one, what were your final thoughts of the overall process? Was there stuff that for you, you're like, I want to try something. If this comes back next year, there's definitely things I want to add and try. Or was it more like, kind of like, damn, that was fun, like that was new, unique, like I can't wait, I hope they bring that back again next year?
That I, you know, it was really hard because it was like, do I mess with perfection, you know, and what can be improved? And that part, I mean a lot of us were caught off guard with the Saw being amazed for Screen Break. And my heart goes out to some of those people, because again, they're not allowed to have a good time in there. They got to be
not
serious.
With a property like Saw.
Exactly.
I thought for sure, though, they would have like made it like a Spring Break theme. Like, these are all scumbag people who happen to be on Spring Break and Jigsaw took over.
Right. Vault was such a great, was it maze last year? It was just because it was called Vault the Initiation. And a lot of the condemned stuff. I mean, the one thing I do want to say is, like, I wish, we can go a couple more nights, because, you know, Friday and Saturday, I know a lot of people are like, you know, we need more. I've seen it. I've seen your comments, people. I've seen it. Like, you know, I get it, you know, because there are people who are pass holders that are addicted to coming every night.
Yeah.
You know, and they love it because it's different every time. If I had to change anything, I definitely would add another zone, for sure. You know, the idea, I don't know. But it would be cool to have, like, another zone or another maze, just one or the other. Because if you have too much, then you're going Fright Fest, and then, again, it might lose the charm. Because it is a smaller event, and it's that for a reason, because it's only 3 hours, you know. And the rides that are available are rides that people go to this park for anyway. So... yeah, it's definitely hard to, again, mess with perfection. This year, I can guarantee that there's a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. How can I say this? Bloodborne's music.
Okay.
Last year, I loved it because when I went up to guests, I specifically said, we're better than Bar Sinister. Right. Right.
Oh,
and the guest goes, you ain't lying.
Dude, you know? I would probably have said the same thing, because I heard there's a dress code to get in, and I don't think I would fit said dress code. I was like, I like to wear my things.
There's times when you go to the Magic Castle and you have to dress up in a suit. Shouldn't be like that for a vampire nightclub, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that for me, coming out of that first year, I could not stop talking about it to people about the event. And it was just one of those things where I was just, honestly, I was blown away as a haunt fan. I was like, they figured out a formula that works for Spring Break, and they brought it to life. Like, that, Do I wish it was longer? Yes. Do I wish the hours were extended longer? Of course I do. Do I wish there was a little bit more to do? Yes. But am I complaining about the fact that I'm getting a haunt in March and April? Fuck no.
Exactly.
Fuck no.
And that's the beautiful part you just touched on about it growing and growing. Yeah. We have people from Knott's at Scream Break.
Yeah.
People from Knott's. We have a couple people from Universal at Scream Break. And it's just because it scratches that itch.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool because these are people that I would probably never normally work with being, you know, here in Santa Clarita and versus Orange County.
Right.
You know, I'll see them work, but and they'll see me work. But to actually work together, that's like a rare thing. And then that's why Scream Break is becoming a beautiful thing for the haunt community, because it is bridging those gaps. It is bringing people together. And it will continue to grow as an event, and it's going to get more traction as the years go by, for sure.
You know, you brought something up as far as the talent, and that goes a lot into hand with this year especially. But you brought up something about talent from different, you know, scare actors from different parks and different, you know, places coming to Scream Break to scare.
Right.
You guys, obviously the vets that have worked there for the longest, them coming in, what was it like for you guys to kind of, like you said, you finally got that opportunity to scare with some of these people. I hear a lot of things on the internet about if you're mazed, you're this. If you're on streets, you're this. I'm like, listen, if you're scaring in the event, you fucking made it.
Bingo.
100%. Like, if you pay attention for the reason why people go to these haunts, majority is to go through these houses. You know, these mazes. And the scare zones are supposed to just keep that atmosphere going, you know, so they can get you to the next house, but to keep that adrenaline going. What was it like for you to kind of come in and see all these people come in? Like, was it like a fun experience for you guys? Because, you know, there is a lot of different styles of people of how they scare and stuff. So to kind of see different parks and their styles kind of get included into this of how people scare. Like, what was that for you guys that have been there for the longest to kind of see some, maybe something new you've never seen or just something unique that you've never seen and kind of talk about it with one another to kind of work together on it?
Just to touch back on that is this event actually it was since it's such a small event, a lot of people who are Fright Fest people weren't able to get a part.
Really?
And yeah, a lot of them. Okay. And that just goes to show you the caliber that they're expecting for this event. Now, when we saw Knott's people and then we saw Universal people and the Castle Park people, it was just like, wow. Like, our little event has got attention, you know, and
you're talking and, Riverside, Orange County, Hollywood, you know, it's like,
yeah,
wow.
And yeah. And then they're all there at the audition. And of course, you know, a lot of people who are so used to being on streets at Knott's Scary Farm are mazed for this event. And they're just happy to be a part of it because again, it's one of those rare opportunities to scare in the spring. You get to work with people that you know, and then you get to make new friends.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part about this whole thing is the Knott's people that are there with us, they're knocking it out of the park. And it's not that they had to assimilate to know Six Flags way or anything like that. They're just themselves. But of course, we are a haunt community. So it's not so much like, oh, you're Knott's, you know, get out of here kind of thing. No. Everybody was welcome with open arms. And as you can see, the dichotomy of everything, it's becoming a beautiful thing for people when they come to the park, because it's like, oh, this guy's new, you know?
And I'm almost certain you can agree with this statement, but guys, at haunt, leave your ego outside in the parking lot. Leave your egos out of it. We are here to sell a story.
Right.
We are here to entertain an audience.
Yeah.
We're here to give the guest the best experience possible. And it takes a team. There is no I in team.
Yeah.
Yes, you could argue there's a me in team, but no one's saying you. It is a group effort. And that's something that I've always loved about Six Flags. That every zone, regardless, always feels like a family with all of you guys.
And it definitely is.
Yeah, and talk to me a little bit about that, you know, because it's not just one zone is friends with one zone. Like, everyone kind of knows everyone, maze and zones. So talk to me about, like, that family aspect that you have gotten to, you know and love at Six Flags. I'm pretty sure you've gotten to meet so many people because of it.
When I first started there, Nate Wise.
Yes.
I love him. I love him, and I love his girlfriend Emma. They're both the sweetest me.
Right.
When I first started working there, I was the puppeteer, which was that 15-foot death contraption. I was basically a photo op, and I was standing off to the side, just observing everything, and he straight up beelines at me and goes, "Hey, man, my name's Matt." I'm sorry, not Matt. Nate. My name's Nate. And did I say Nate Wise or Matt Wise?
I mean, we know.
Yeah.
If for those who don't know what we're talking about the infamous Exile Brothers.
Yes, we're talking about. Yeah, so I'm talking about Nate. I'm talking about Nate Wise, and he just beelined it to me, and he shook his, you know, he extended his hand. He goes, "I'm Nate," you know, and I'm like, "I'm Bear," you know, how you doing? And he's like, "Oh, what are you here for?" And I'm like, "I'm here as a puppeteer," and he's like, "That's cool, man. It's cool you get to have that contraption," and he's in full-on clown suit, you know, and you know, he's barely got his makeup on, and he's just rapping with me, and all of a sudden, it was just like, he just goes, "Hey, man, have a great time, that's all, you know, you're just find your tribe, bro, just find your tribe," that's all he said, and all of a sudden, it becomes, I always have this thing, we come in as strangers, we become friends, and we leave as family.
Yep.
And I have so much love for everybody at Fright Fest and Scream Break. Because again, last year we knew the assignment. It was, let's keep this going, because we get Haunt in the spring. Yeah. If it's successful, this will be back next year. Same story this year. Keep it successful, this will come back next year. You know, and we understand how, you know, important our jobs are to keep this going. So, and I just want to say that the family aspect is definitely there at Six Flags. For me, it is, because honestly, I carry no hate. You know, I, like you said, anybody with egos, check them at the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're there to make it happen. All of us are. Yeah. Maze, walk around, stilts, sliders, we're all there to make it happen.
Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, and I've seen it a lot lately, is just there's so many people that, for some reason, think they're better than other people because they're on a street zone rather than in a maze, you know? And I just hate seeing that, because I can go through a maze and be like, well, this guy's working just as hard, if not harder, than you are. So, like, what are you comparing yourself to? Like, I don't know. I just feel like egos should not be at Haunt. Everyone's there to have fun. Everyone's there to do a job. Everyone's there to entertain. And the last thing you want to see is someone stealing someone else's scare and the guest not really understanding what's going on, even though he was focusing on one person and then a complete focus change on another. Keep the egos at the door.
And that's one thing, I to bring it up, not to name drop, but, you know, Chase McCullough, the mummy from Not Scary Farm,
mm-hmm.
he's my cousin. And he gave me the rundown about egos.
Yeah.
He's like, you're gonna meet them, dude. They're gonna bump into you.
Right.
It's just how you handle them is a different story.
Oh yeah.
And with Six Flags, you know, how can I say this? They get outed pretty quick, just because, you know, it becomes more or less that they build this aura around them, and it's just like, dude, really, you know, I proved a point at Midsummer with somebody like that. I go, hey, could you get us into that, you know, exclusive private event right here? No, I go, there you go.
Yep. Yep.
That's how significant you are
with,
you know, with your ego. And it becomes laughable for sure.
Oh, 100%. It does. Yeah. So now, 2024 right now, for those, you have about a week or two, I think, left for Scream Break, 2 weeks. And I want you guys to go check this out. You know, you have to check it out at least once. It's something that is in person that you have to see. Talk to me a little bit about going in with the mindset of year two now. You guys kind of know the vibe and what management is looking for as far as, you know, telling this Screen Break story. What was it like coming back and kind of reprising and picking up where you left off from the last year?
It was new to me in the sense that this is the second year I've done the same character. And that, you know, that's okay. You know, I was like, all right, you know, this is foreign, but I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, cause everybody, there's people that love the character Laz and you know, it, but they introduced some new people as well into these zones. So it's like, you know, a lot of people that are familiar with Screen Break watch the videos like yours and Rob's and everybody else's to get a kind of a feel what they're getting themselves into.
Right.
And basically I don't have to do anything in the sense of like, this is how it goes. No, that's not me. I don't do that. I'm not like, you know, Haunt is an escape and that's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, and even though it's a job, but it's still a fun job.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it really became, just not, I wanted to challenge myself. So what I mean by that is I go in there with, new things and, you know, new scare tactics. Like my new one now is like, I turn around real quick and I, you know, go like this and then I'll go, ooh, you know, I'm like, I don't mean to, you know, that, you know, but it's stuff like that, you know, because it's, I don't want to rehash anything that people saw from last year.
Right.
Because again, like we just talked about it, which was, you know, it gets stagnant and people expect that now when they see it. Then that's one beautiful thing about like M as well, that it's new every time you see them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's new when you see me, it's new when you see Tina. We're not there to reprise anything or repeat stuff. We want to give you something new, but with the same character from last year. So yeah, definitely it was a challenge to bring new stuff in the arsenal for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Always expanding that story that's already set in place and kind mm-hmm. of adding a new chapter to it. A new kind yeah. of, like you said, a new kind. What were some of your big influences now going into the vampire role? Obviously, you talked a little bit about The Walking Dead and, you know, mm-hmm. clickers for Hugo. But what was the inspiration for Laz? Because for me, the number one vampire thing that's on everyone's radar today is What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes. That's I would say that's a good 60% of it because okay. it's goofy. Yeah. It's goofy, you know, and I, of course, the scare factor, of course, the count from Sesame Street. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, man, I would have went along with and vibe with it.
Bring a
box of Count Chocula over, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, but I see, that's the thing. I have stories about those two at Screen Break, and you have to come see me at Screen Break to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But it's definitely like, yes. That and what's his name from Leslie Nielsen from Naked Gun, his vampire movie. I forget the name of it.
I know which one you're talking about though.
Yeah, that's another huge inspiration for Laz.
Okay.
Which was like, you know, like I'm trying my best as a vampire.
Yeah.
You know, not to be, you know, too terrifying, but at the same time trying to bring that human aspect in there too.
Yeah.
You know. And it's like, you know, but that's why I always apologize to people for trying to attack them, because it's like, I can't control this.
Dude, you know? I absolutely love the whole idea of what you do. Obviously, we talked about earlier, they've named you club owner, man. You are, this is your club. This is your undead party, man. And yeah, I've heard that a few times of like, oh yeah, I drank someone's blood earlier and there was so much alcohol on it. It's starting to affect me now.
Yeah.
Know? I absolutely love how much you guys immerse everyone into that club vibe.
Thank you.
And you know, you obviously playing host, you kind of are everywhere in the zone. You're at one point I seen you in the grass on the hill right there, kind of vibing with the tombstones. You know, you have Tina right there working the kind of main area, kind of dancing around and getting the scares, and then you come back and joining and playing host. Everyone else kind of interacting. I mean, it's a whole, like I said, it's a team effort. I mean, I'm looking here, I'm looking there, I'm looking over here, and it's just like, I can't keep up, and then all of a sudden, bam, someone scares me. Like, you guys are such, you do such great jobs of providing those distractions for those scares.
That's definitely professionalism.
Yeah.
And I know it's not I would say it's not really said when it comes to scare acting. It's not, I mean, you know, because a lot of times when you go to like haunts, and I'm excluding Not Scary Farm and Universal out of this, but there's sometimes people are just goofing off.
Right.
You know, and then when they come and scare, they run at your face and scream in your ear, you know, and of course that's one thing I do have to hand to Six Flags is they stress to the actors, don't scream in the guest ears. They don't do that. You know, he goes, if I catch, you know, if they catch you doing that, then, you know, either you're 86 or you're done for the night, you know? Right. So, of course you gotta be more creative with the approach and the delivery. And with Bloodborne last year, I think it was a really good collective effort that we had people that were just there to scare. Like Mr. Willoughby, he was known as the Dead Man in Bloodborne.
Right.
And he was a pure scare. Other than if you ticked him off, he would say something.
don't we all have short fuses, though? Come on now.
But Screen Break was the only place he could actually say something.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah. He could actually open his mouth.
Yeah. And it would catch people off guard, you know, but it wasn't like, you know, R-rated kind of stuff. It was like, you know, PG-13-ish, you know, it was like, you know, he told the line, but he was able to say stuff because, again, there would be guests that were unruly after a scare, like throw their fist up and, you know, he's like, are you really going to do that? You know?
Yeah, for real. Like, tell him, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. So it was really a lot of people. It was new. It was new. It was just a really... It was different, and it was, again, we all had to adapt, and that's what you saw last year. We adapted to what they wanted, and not knowing that we were, you know, batting 1,000 each night.
So I got to tell you something. In honor of WrestleMania being this weekend,
yes,
in honor of me going on Friday, what I got to do now is I got to buy two tall boys, go into your zone, open them up, and just bam! All in the mouth.
Dude.
Throw him out of here.
Give me a beer!
And then just hear the glass shatter and then me walking away. Like, oh, God, it'd be great. But, no, I have to say, dude, like, I think this event and what you guys have made of this event is truly something that I don't think that on paper sounds like a great idea and then executed – went beyond their wildest dreams, I think.
I think Magic Mountain was a shot in the dark. If it was going to work, it really was like, you know, it's a tough sell. I mean, you're like saying it's haunt in the spring. Yeah. That's it. You know,
like during Easter, it's haunt.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to see how the haunt community was so excited, and then from the haunt community, it went word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And I really have to thank the haunt community for going out there and saying, like, you can have fun. You don't even have to be into monsters. The interactions alone are what make this event a lot of fun. And, of course, you get to ride the rides in the dark, which, you know, that's a good and big major plus. But, again, it was my heart and my – I'm grateful for the haunt community to go out – that they went out there word of mouth, posted it on social media, and, you know, all the pictures, all the videos – saying how much of a good time that they had. And that really got traction. And that made normal people, I only say normal people, were like, I got to check this out. And they ended up saying, we had a good time. We had a blast, you know, interacting with the monsters. And I think that showed Six Flags, again, put your faith in your trusted actors and we'll make it happen.
100%. I think, you know, that taking the chance on something like this, man, like I said, is opening doors and is changing the haunt game as we're seeing
right.
it. You know, it's opening those doors of giving the opportunity to do something year-round. That haunt doesn't only have to be during Halloween. You can literally theme it to anything and people will show up. Like, it's like they said, if you build it, they will come. You know, like, if you make an event that's haunt-related, I guarantee you people will show up. And now we're in 2024. We have about 1 weekend left. If you can describe Scream Break 2024 in only a few words, what would those words be?
Too short.
Too short. And we're not talking about the rapper.
No. You know, Cocktails is a great song, but, you know, I don't know. But it's too short. And last year, I don't remember. I think we worked three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think we did. It was because the two night thing was new, which was Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
I don't know if Sundays were dead nights, but Sundays were really active.
Really?
There was people still showing up.
Fuck.
You know? And I was like, you know, all right, you know, I guess two nights out of the week, I guess, you know. Yeah. But I will say this, and, you know, again, too short and not enough time. Because the fans, gosh, that from last year to this year, that was a big difference, is the fans that are showing up with, you know, bracelets and drawings and candy, you know, I'm completely floored by that, because as my character, as a scare actor, that's new to me.
Right.
Because, you know, the characters I've ever played at Fright Fest, they scare the crap out of people and they run, you know. when people try to put something on me as, like, you know, I'm still in character. Again, can't break kayfabe, brother, you know.
Exactly. You can't do it.
Can't do it. And then, you know, with Scream Break, here's my wrist, you know, go ahead, put this on, you know. That's a big difference from last year's to this year.
You know,
it's the fans.
To hear you say all that, you know, and this is me looking at it in a fan's perspective, because, you know, I may make all these podcasts, I may make all these videos, but in the end of the day, I'm just a fan like everyone else, you know. The fact that someone can turn on my channel and listen to my shitty opinions for an hour or so, or just listen to me talk with people, you know, for an hour or so, is just, it blows me away. It really does. I appreciate all the support from the community out there and what we do with this show specifically of giving you guys the opportunity to talk and tell your stories and to share your experiences, maybe with the next generation who wants to get into it but doesn't exactly know where to start. You know,
right.
They can go back and watch these episodes and hear all these stories of how people got their coming ups and where they are today. And, you know, we are living in a very interesting world these days as far as haunt goes, you know. And I'm so excited with the future of the haunt industry. I mean, there's so much that is coming soon that continues to change the game. Six Flags, I mean, obviously game changers when they introduced the Scream Break concept. As of this recording, you got about 2 more weeks left of Scream Break. This video is being released on a Friday, so you have tonight, tomorrow, and then next weekend as well. So don't miss out on that final weekend, because I guarantee you this is something that, yes, you can watch all the videos and you want on this, but it's not going to do justice until you see it in person. There is a reason why there's so many people that caught interest this year with it, because they saw how fun it looked last year, how successful it was last year, and they wanted to be part of that hype train of, like, yeah, dude, let's go to haunt during spring break. And you guys are killing it with the vibes. You know, you're making everyone feel welcome. You're making everyone party, and you're giving everyone a great time that they will always remember. I am super excited to get to attend tonight and to see what you guys have to bring to the table. And you know what? All I got to say for you guys at Six Flags is a very big thank you, and just keep doing what you guys are doing. Don't change. You guys keep fucking going. Keep riding this storm all the way you guys can, man, because this is something that is special that you guys get to have with the fans, something that, as far as character-wise goes, something new and unique that you don't get to do very often. And to kind of break away from the traditional scary and fog and darkness, and to kind of get the party lights and the dubstep and just, you know, the vibes. I think it's something that I can't wait to see grow. And I just want to say you guys are a huge part of that. Everyone behind the scenes, huge part of bringing it all together. Shout out to the incredible Six Flags makeup team, because I am so blown away by them.
And if I can too, I have the distinct honor of getting my face done by Lena Browning, who is Jinx the Fool's makeup artist as well. I wanted to, again, shout out to Six Flags for spoiling me, because I had Ev McCampbell last year for Fright Fest,
right,
and now I have Lena this year, and I'm like, what did I do? Did I hit the lottery? I mean, they're literally giving me grade A, like top tier makeup artists to work with. And I, you know, like the makeup artists in what we call Acme in the makeup room,
right,
they're magicians.
Oh, Oh, 100%. I look at these prosthetics. I'm like,
yeah.
At first, I think it's a legit realistic mask. I'm like, no, right. No, those are prosthetics, bro. Those are amazing.
Yeah, and I a massive shout out to both Emma and Lena, just because they make, and of course the makeup artists before them as well, but they make me so ugly and beautiful at the same time. Like, I just come creeping out of that fog with that face, and you know people throwing their food up in the air,
it is,
and of course, it's amazing
the detail. From right. Like the bumps to like the wrinkles to everything, just to bring you guys to life. You know, from the clowns to the vampires to the demons. I mean, it is incredible. And then obviously Spring Break with bright colors and stuff, they really did a good job of giving you guys in your zones like that kind of pop feature.
Right. They're like military strategists. And what I mean by that is like they will look at their assignment, they will realize what zone this monster is going to be in, and they will do the artwork to accommodate the monster in that zone. And like it's just amazing to see, because like again, Emma and Lena, and shout out to Bella, who is my Humpty Dumpty makeup artist, which that's a story in itself. They like, you know, each one definitely did something different because of the zones I was in. Like, you know, Emma made me look like I was sullen and dark, you know, and just looked like I was struggling to just barely come at you.
Right.
You know, she had the veins coming out of me and stuff. And then of course, like, you know, Lena, she's got me like a little bit gothic and party at the same time. Like I just had on a bloodbender, but I'm cold as well, you know? And it's they're just amazing talent that is in that makeup room.
Oh,
for sure. I've got to give it up for Six Flags for spoiling me these past couple of years, because I'm just like I'm floored by the stuff that they've done on my face, you know. And when I show pictures, they're like, dude, how much did that cost? I'm like, I don't know, you know.
Like, I just sit in a chair and they do it. That's all, you know.
Yeah,
they're paying me to be there.
And I always say this, and this goes out to every new scare actor. Remember, the makeup artist is 90% of your character. 90%.
Yeah.
90%. And I only say that because a lot of people think that back to the ego thing. It's like they feel like these are favors done for them. And it's not. These makeup artists actually are very talented people that are getting paid for what they do. And I always tell my makeup artist, I'm just out there to bring your work to life. That's all.
You know, make me ugly/beautiful.
Yes. Yes. and that's my 10% of it, which is just bringing it to life.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I shout out to all the makeup artists, even at other parks that, you know, who do makeup for their monsters as well. That it's definitely a team effort on that one body. It is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that needs to be recognized as well.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I always say, you know, and I come from a theater background in high school, so I was heavily involved with behind the scenes stuff, you know. So, you know, I was working in the sound department, but I knew all the light people, I knew all the stage tech people with like bringing out props and everything, like the makeup artist, costuming, everything. Like you got to know all these people and to see what they all do and how all of this little by little, after tons of rehearsals, comes to the final show and it all comes together. That's how I've always looked at Haunt too. Like you see the similarities between theater and Haunt. It's very similar. It's, you know, concepting into a script, into, you know, breaking up into departments, building it all together, auditioning, you know, training, rehearsing, all the way to your final night, which is your world premiere of, you know, everything that you've worked on for the last couple of months. So, I mean, it's very similar, theater and Haunt together, you know, and I always like comparing those two.
It's like the analogy I use is like, do you think Eddie Van Halen tuned up his own guitars? Like,
right. You know, he had someone doing that for him, man.
For him, exactly. And that's a makeup artist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can claim to be Eddie Van Halen, but damn it, if my guitars ain't tuned right, you know, I'm going to give a bad show.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I agree 100%.
You know, and that's the one thing that That's the one ugly part I'm having with a lot of the people that are in Han right now is they feel that this is a favor owed to them, when in actuality the makeup artists are making it happen for them, right. And they don't want to acknowledge that. And it's just like, dude, you know, come on, yeah. That person took the time to be detail and took deep breaths and looked at their work again and went back in, and all of a sudden these people get out of the chair like, oh, the star is born,
So that means you have a job come time showing up to work on Friday. I need you to print out a picture of Roman Reigns that says acknowledge me and put it on each of their posts.
Oof.
That way the message,
I like that idea.
That way the message is clear.
Yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah, definitely that needs to be some Roman Reigns around you.
That's got
to
be makeup artist is like, that's their new slogan. Acknowledge
it. It's not that I'm just gonna tell people right now, it is a slap in the face when you don't, when you got a really good picture going and it's like flies, all get out and you don't even tag the makeup artist that made it happen.
Yeah.
And then it's a faux pas.
Because that's something they can add to their portfolio too in the future,
And that's touching on that, like a lot of makeup artists, if they don't have their work readily available, they'll go to your Instagram and be like, look, this is what I've done.
Yeah.
They'll go to your Instagram be like, look, I learned that when I did the boogeyman, when I was the arm,
right.
Which I had to shave off. that was a fun day at work, dude. People thought I was in some kinky stuff, but, the makeup artist that did my arm said that to me, like, she was like, if I can't come up with my photos on, that I've done on a client, I'll go to their Instagram and be like, look, here it is.
Yeah. Cause nine out of 10 times you're going to post monster's going to post their look or something about it to social media. But yeah, I heavily agree with that is if you got a makeup artist out there, that's, and really think about it, putting in hours of work, not just on you, but on like probably 10 people. Because I know these guys have it down to like 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes to a person usually because they, of time. But to see that amount of time and how fast they work, I mean, I think it really doesn't get enough recognition. Like, I think it needs more out there of these makeup. So if we have any makeup artists, no matter where you're from, Six Flags, Not Scary Farm, Halloween Horror Nights, Haunted Hayride, wherever, hit up your boy, the Knights of Horror, because we'd love to interview you. And thank you very much for all the amazing, incredible work you do on all the monsters across all parks. Because, like you said, I see a lot of face paint going on at Not Scary Farm. They have a talented style of things. Six Flags has a style of things. Horror Nights has their style of things. Everyone has a different style, but it's so unique to see everyone's different styles because it's from an individual person and that's their style. And it's I always compare it to like the Mona Lisa or like a piece of art.
Like absolutely.
That's exactly what it is. Like look at, and you got people like my buddy Rob, who go out there and take photos of these. I'm glad there's people like him that go out there and do that. Cause this stuff can be recognized forever after that. You know what I mean?
So cause honestly I get a kick out of when a lot of guys and gals that take pictures of us, I'll send it to my makeup artist immediately. Like, look at this, look what you've done, and then they'll take that and put that in their portfolio. And of course, like on the social media, I'll tag them in the comments, like, hey, it's not the photographer's job or anything like that. It's just right when I see that picture, I'll tag them, let my makeup artist know, like, look, look what's here.
You're
check it out.
Something else. You're, yeah.
Yeah. And, and they like that. And it's that to them and, it's that camaraderie between you and the makeup artist.
Right.
Because, they know that you're not there for the wrong reasons. Yeah. And what I mean by that is you're not like, I'm a star, take care of me, And again, characters are all team effort. Then cannot stress that enough.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I have to agree. Well, Laz, Hugo, Bear.
Yes.
I love it all. You're the third person I know that's named Bear.
Oh, but the only thing is I'm not Native American. I think I was named after my parents' drug dealer, but
Trust me, my dad's not Native American either, and they call him Bear. He just looks like a big bear. I have another buddy who owns an indie wrestling company, and he's huge, and they call him Bear too.
Knox Pro?
Relentless Pro Wrestling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. When how'd you get the nickname Bear for you?
I've had it since day two of my life.
Okay.
I didn't know my real name until I was 7 years old.
Really?
They kept marking me absent because I didn't know my real name. So we had a parent-teacher conference, you know, like, hey, your kid's not showing up to school. And, you know, my mother, you know, she was like, is that true, Bear? You know, and of course, I was like, but I'm here. And like, well, wait a minute, you said Bear. And she was like, yeah, that's his name. But I have him down here as this. She goes, why don't you tell the teacher your name? And, and of course, me being 7 years old, I go, I don't talk to strangers.
You know? Dude, I don't think I've ever heard a story like that, but I absolutely, that's hilarious, man. But yeah, I would have been like, why didn't you tell your name? I'm like, because she didn't ask. Like, she referred me as something else, and I didn't know that was my name. So here I am. Oh man, that's awesome though. I mean, you have that. That's just your lifelong nickname. That's just that.
I still curse my parents to this day. I'm like, you guys messed up. You fumbled the ball after day one. You know, he couldn't wait another day, could you?
Oh man, there's a few more questions I'd like to ask you before we wrap this up. Are going to be non-horror related or Scream Break related. But for all those who are interested, you can find Laz over here at Scream Break right now for the last 2 weeks that got going on. And if you're lucky enough, you might even run into not specifically Laz, but another character over at Fright Fest. So stay tuned. You never know what you're going to see in the fog. That being said, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to get really serious now.
Okay.
WrestleMania 40 this weekend.
Oh, here we go.
There's a lot of great things going to go down at WrestleMania 40. All the titles are on the line.
Yes.
Memories are going to be made. Legends are going to be crafted right then and there. But the number one question I know everyone has on their mind is, will Cody Rhodes finish his story? Is Cody walking out as undisputed WWE Universal Champion, or will Roman's reign still live on and beat Hulk Hogan's reign? Sometime September.
To quote Cody's dad, oh, baby, all we got is time. And what I mean by that is, dude, this whole Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns thing has got the country captivated. Like, they are invested.
I've never been this obsessed with wrestling than I have been the last, like, since October.
Like, yeah.
When Triple H took over, he invested the hell out of me into fucking professional wrestling again. Like, I was into it. I would watch it every week. It was great. This Bloodline story had me pumped. And then when Triple H took over, I'm watching this shit live again on TV. And it's like, I used to just watch YouTube clips. I mean, I still do every now and then if I miss stuff. But, man, to watch it live again, like, it is... This company is going somewhere, and I truly believe this is probably going to be one of the greatest WrestleManias, if not the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
And to harken back at that, I haven't been this excited about wrestling since the Golden Era. And what I mean by that is like the Piper era.
Yeah.
It's bringing me back because now the storylines are so thick and emotional. Like, I'm thinking about it. I go to sleep now thinking about it.
I wake up. I listen to Busted Open every single day because I need to hear what the professionals have to say. I need to hear what La Greca has to say.
Yes.
You know, I have to listen to my Busted Open every day. And, you know, I mean, it part of it is because I do love Bully Ray's point of view of things. Like, I love the way he breaks it down from a business standpoint, what he knows from his knowledge of wrestling all these years. Yeah, Team Fat and the Furious all the way with that one. But I listen to Busted Open every single day. It's probably one of the best parts of my day of just 3 hours of just listening to them talk about professional wrestling and me getting as hyped as them. I was like, yeah, that pissed me off too. Or yeah, that didn't make sense to me either. Like, I don't know why they did that. But I don't know, dude. I was there in person last year for 39. And to say to walk away, I walked away disappointed is a very big understatement, because I walked away pissed, mad, destroyed. If they don't finish the story this weekend, I don't know where we go from here. I really don't.
You know, and that's the one thing I'm kind of like on the fence about it is, if the story gets finished, does Cody just walk away from it all? Like, does he take the championship belt and go, I've finished the story. I don't need to go anymore. You know?
Mean, he just did re-sign a new contract, so that tells me.
That is true. But do we know if it's just for upper management? Because I know Triple H likes the work he did in AEW. And I don't know. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. That's the mark in me coming out right now. Just thinking, like, if he finishes the story, are we going to get the Cody Rhodes swan song? Like, are we going to see him hold the belt up and go, Dad, this is for you, you know? And he goes, I've done what no Rhodes has done. I'm going to walk away as a champ. And then that's it. I mean, stranger things have happened in wrestling. I don't want to see it. But if it happens, I'm not going to be surprised.
There is a lot of pieces to the puzzle in order for us to get to that main event of day two of WrestleMania. Because before that, on day one, we have to get through The Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody to determine whether or not it's going to be a fair fight or Bloodline rules. And I'm very much on the side of Bloodline rules, because that just means potential Stone Cold come out, potential Cena come out. You know, everyone that's been involved with this storyline could potentially show up to this thing. And this could be like the end game of WWE for this storyline. This could be their Avengers moment where everyone starts coming out of the circles and take on Thanos' army, man. There is so much on the line this weekend going in. Yeah. I didn't think we were ever going to get to this weekend, but now that we are here, I cannot wait to see how this weekend concludes. In order to get to day two, we have to get past day one.
You know? Day one, yeah. And gosh darn it, I'm working that night.
That's why I'm going to screen break on a Friday.
Right.
Because I almost picked that Saturday, and then I was like, fuck, WrestleMania is this weekend, and I cannot miss that because I have waited months, a year, to see where this story ends. Just avoid social media, and then you get Sunday off so you can sleep in Sunday. You can stay up all night and watch night one. And then you'll be ready for night two.
Dude.
Just drink maybe a coffee on the way home so you can get through night one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about doing. Is like, I'll probably be going to bed at 4 on a Sunday morning.
Sleep in, and then wake up and watch day two.
Yeah, dude. This gives me, you know, reminding me like when I was a kid with Hulk and Ultimate Warrior. That's the buildup, I feel like. Because you got to remember, I mean, here we go. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. When that buildup happened, that was like on epic proportions, because you got a guy who was the man, which Hulk, where Roman Reigns is now.
Yeah.
And then you had the guy who is the up-and-comer but is a threat. Then that's Ultimate Warrior / Cody Rhodes, which I would never compare Cody Rhodes to Ultimate Warrior, but that analogy is right there. Cody Rhodes is way cooler. I mean,
I always tell this to people, and, you know, it's true. You're talking about a guy who was not happy in WWE when he first did his first run through.
Yeah.
You know, gimmick after gimmick after gimmick that just wasn't working for him.
Right.
The guy left WWE, went to the indie scene, redefined his character as the American Nightmare, the complete opposite of his dad. You know,
right.
And really built this character to what it is today, almost to the point where people aren't going, yeah, that's Dusty's son. They're going, no, that's the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
Damn right.
And he made a name in the indie scene, made a bunch of friends in the indie scene, launched a rival wrestling company, something that hadn't been done since WCW.
Yes.
and really took it to Vince McMahon. That is that wrestling company, although numbers and stuff aren't doing good, it's still around to this day.
It is. And to Cody Rhodes' credit, and just a shout out, because you and I are both Latino, he's half Latino. You know, gotta give
Latino
it up for him.
Latino heat, baby. Come on.
That's right. He's one of ours.
Yeah, and, man.
And exactly, dude. I mean, that's just a little bit of pride right there, you know, for us. Yeah. And yeah, just with Cody, dude, just throw it out too, when all the naysayers said no indie promotion could, and I'm talking about not AEW. Yeah. I'm talking about All In before that. Yeah. Couldn't fill up that arena. Was it 25,000?
Yeah.
And he goes, watch, you know, we'll make this happening. Place sold out in 6 minutes.
6 minutes, you know? Bro.
Yeah.
6 minutes. I remember watching that pay-per-view live, dude. It was unreal.
Yeah, me too. I love it. The whole, from, you know, that's, you know, this is hard to say because I was deep into the indie scene around that time. And a lot of those people you got to talk to after matches, like, you know, Matt Jackson and yeah, the Bucks, and you know, people like Orange Cassidy, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but when he used to run Bar Wrestling here in LA,
Rob, trust me, Rob is a massive wrestling fan. He's met all those people. He used to tell me about Bar Wrestling. I am so disappointed I never got to see it, but it sounds like it was incredible.
Dude, $25 every event to see the, I got to spend New Year's Eve with John Waltman, Colt Cabana,
hell yeah,
you know, Alex Zane, Blake Christensen, these, before they became who they are today.
Right.
And I was just like, I'm literally spending New Year's Eve with professional wrestlers. Dude. That was like one of the best New Year's Eve I've ever had. And Tommy Dreamer was there too.
Oh, you know? I love Dreamer.
See, it was, but Tony, it was only $25 to be there that night.
Dude, I'm telling you, and I think a lot of people sleep on it.
Yeah.
The indie scene is where it's at, dude. I mean, I've been to so many indie shows, and Relentless Pro Wrestling in specific, they got an event coming up called Welcome to the Jungle at the end of April, April 27th, in Orange County. And how they book their matches, they are doing it very old school, very Dusty Rhodes-like. And everyone knows, as a professional wrestling fan, Dusty was one of the greatest bookers to ever live.
Ever.
I mean, so many people were inspired by Dusty and the work ethic. That's where I saw where AEW was when Cody was. I'm like, no wonder why this is so good, because he's his dad's son, bro. He's got the blood running through his veins.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He knows how to book a show, bro. And he knows how to book well.
Yeah, I mean, like you said about AEW, it's a shame right now. I mean, I, as a wrestling fan, I want to succeed. You know, I do. I like, it reminds me of the days of WCW and WWE, you know, or WWF back then. It reminds me of those days just because, you know, you have one show at 8 o'clock going from 8 to 10, and then, of course, 10 to midnight, you know, with the other one.
Yeah.
And it was really hard back then, too, because it was like, crap, I got to grab a VHS.
So I could tape WCW and watch Monday Night Raw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I will say, this is a very important moment in a wrestling fan's life, was that Rick Rude moment. That, as a wrestling fan, shattered all kayfabe.
Yeah.
Like he was just on WWF or WWE. He was just on there.
Then he switched to Raw. WCW.
Yeah, live. And you're like, wait a minute, this guy just had a quick shave. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, and then I remember during the Monday Night Wars hearing Tony Schiavone giving off all the spoilers from Monday Night Raw.
And that's what ultimately ended up tanking WCW.
Yeah.
Because of the Foley match.
Yeah, you're right.
For the title.
Yep.
They had announced on the air that he was going to win the title, and everyone switched to the channel just to see that.
Yeah.
That was their biggest fuck-up.
Yeah, WCW... I don't, this is going to hurt.
Good job, Bischoff. You run your company out of the ground. I'm just kidding. I like Mason Bischoff.
I do too. I mean, I still like it. It's really funny that I, as a wrestling fan, I've always listened to Cornette.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's some things I disagree with, but majority of the stuff I do agree with. And all of a sudden now he's the hottest thing to listen to now. And I'm like, I've been here since day one.
Yeah, I'm a huge Busted Open fan. I really got into them during the whole press conference. I was trying to look for people to react to that and see what other people thought about it. And lo and behold, the infamous pink robe video of La Greca. The original Cody crybaby.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be surprised when you're watching WrestleMania, by the way, if you see a sea of people in pink robes, because they're having their ECW party, their Busted Open party that Saturday.
Right.
They're selling the robes. They're having a tailgate party on Sunday. They're giving out the robes. I was like, damn, bro, like, how do I get a hand on one of these robes?
You know, dude, but, you know, and that's the one thing, the Philly fans, and I've learned that over the years, they love their wrestling.
Oh, 100%.
And they're really sentimental with everything that comes their way. There's guys that will not give up their ECW tickets. The funniest thing is, I was at ECW Heat Wave in 2000. I was there.
Really?
I was there.
At the ECW arena?
No, here in L.A.
Oh, here in L.A.
Yeah, okay. The only time that they ran an event here in L.A., that was the night that XPW came and invaded. That was a really crazy night, dude.
ECW was a vibe.
But the people, there was people from Philadelphia. It was like the Grateful Dead, dude. Like, seriously, like, they had a traveling squad that would follow them to every show.
The diehards.
The diehards. And I got to meet the guy that looks like he plays guitar every time he's there. The dude with the black hair. I was like, oh, man, I see you every episode.
I marked out to him.
You know, I was marking out to the fans, dude.
Dude, that's something I loved about wrestling is ECW, bro. And that arena.
Oh, yeah.
Just everything that was accomplished there. I mean, Bully Ray just recently talked about it. He goes, to the day I die, till my last breath on this earth, I will go out swinging, fighting for ECW, because I had the greatest time of my career in that building, and it was only 4 years.
And a massive shout out to ECW, because from midnight to 1 o'clock on Saturday nights, they ran a 1 hour on I forget the name of the station, but it was like a mixture of like Spanish and English, and then they had infomercials in between. But ECW was always on Saturday nights from 12 to 1.
Yeah,
I say massive shout out because they kept me out of trouble on Saturday nights.
You're like, nah, bro, ECW's on tonight. We gotta go watch it.
I skipped out on dates. I didn't want to hang out with the riffraff that was in my life, dude. I was like, dude, I gotta stay home and watch ECW. And it was court, and the soundtracks alone, dude, the music that they.
Thunderkiss 65 always opening up the show, bro. Come on now.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You know, like, and that was the music back then, dude. It was like,
dude, Sandman coming out to enter Sandman, going crazy with the beers on his head.
Rob Van Dam, Pantera. Dude.
It was great.
I lived for that 1 hour block of wrestling, dude, just because, I mean, I got to see Stone Cold. I didn't know he was Stone Cold back then. I remember him as Stunning Steve.
Yeah.
But then, he kind of looked like a dollar store version of Hulk in ECW.
Yeah, no, I remember that, dude. That was where he found the character. He took the beer drinking from Sandman. He took the fucking cussing from everyone out. You know, he would watch these people, and he built the character Stone Cold Steve Austin right there at ECW.
Scare actor tactic. He picked it from every little part and brought it together. Like, he took Mikey Whipwreck's whippersnapper finisher.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, the Sandman gimmick, the cursing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, dude. Yeah,
he learned a lot. And shout out to the great Paul Heyman, who's getting inducted to the Hall of Fame this weekend. I mean, that couldn't have been a better booking choice to do it in Philadelphia, to do it at the 40th anniversary. The man who helped shape and re-innovate the professional wrestling as we know it in the 90s. You know,
doesn't get enough credit.
I mean, he brought the careers of the likes of Mick Foley back. He brought Terry Funk back. You know, like, he made Taz a household name. He made Dreamer, the Dudley Boys, you know, Rob Van Dam, Sabu, bro.
Sabu.
His matches were insane, bro. And
he made a guy like Jerry Lynn, who was a jobber, dude, have a career.
Dude, he transformed the business for the better. And I can't, and he deserves this Hall of Fame induction. With that, but it's gonna be a great weekend. I think WrestleMania is gonna slap. I can't wait to see where we go after WrestleMania. There's a lot to come up afterwards, so I can't wait. Final question for you.
Sure.
Usually the hardest one for a lot of our guests. But what's your favorite scary movie?
Not gonna be too cliche. because I love Trick or Treat. I love that movie.
You know, we don't get that answer very often.
Okay, I'll give you that answer, Trick or Treat. Because I know a lot of people are going to go, I've seen it on your podcast, like, you know, they go Friday the 13th or, you know, Evil Dead. Yeah, Halloween. But I'm going to go with Trick or Treat. I'll be the first one. I love Sam. I love his method of killing. He doesn't hurt kids, you know. And, you know, he definitely is the payback bad guy. I like that.
Dude, and all those stories are so great.
Yeah.
I love the anthology, but then they all tie in at the end. Like, that was such a good story aspect of things. But, yeah, Trick or Treat's a fun one. I loved it when it came to Halloween Horror Nights as well. That was awesome. And they really did a good job on that maze. So, big shout out to Trick or Treat. Big, and then Krampus as well, Mike Doherty. I mean, he's a great director.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good answer, man. Very good answer.
Thank you. Let me give you.
Ah, he's got it again. There it is. One last one right there. Well, Laz, for those who want to keep up with all your amazing character work, all your amazing characters overall, where can they find you on social media, my friend?
Of course, at Laz_vampire. My personal is at track_the_bear. That's where you'll find me as a comedian and a competitive eater. So
no way. That's what's up, bro. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see all the collaborations. You'll see all the collaborations I've had with all the competitive eaters.
That's awesome, bro. Good for you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
I really wish I can eat that much. For some reason I'm losing weight now and I just can't eat what I used to. And I hate it because I used to just love eating things and just stuffing my face with things. And now I just can't even do that no more. And I'm just like,
It's not easy.
I know that. Trust me. I've watched documentaries about how these guys train and what they got to do and, like, methods they use during the competition. I'm just like, a lot of water drinking and a lot of eating, I've noticed.
It's a lot of grapes and a lot of oatmeal. And you become very regular after that.
Wow. It's impressive. You guys, freaking hats off to you guys. I mean, I don't know how you guys do it, but
y'all
doing the Lord's work right there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Have a great rest of your season with Scream Break. And
we'll
get together soon and do another one of these again.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. And appreciate you. And keep up the good work with your podcast.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the first episode of our Spring Break Takeover. If you guys enjoyed, hit that like and subscribe button. Leave some comments down for Laz. Follow us on all of our social medias. Until then, have a safe and happy WrestleMania season, and go check out Scream Break any chance within the next 2 weekends, or else you're going to have to wait till another year or wait till Fright Fest to get a fix. Until then, stay spooky.